Okay, right now we're in the towards the top of Daf Ches Amud Beis. We are where the Gemara says Ulishmitin, the two dots over there. The Mishnah had pointed out that this man for Shemitah, for Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah, was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Again, Shemitah means that that's when the year begins. Yeah, Dad. Quick question.
The location again, please.
Yeah, sorry. It's about 13 lines on the top of the page and two dots. Daf Ches Amud Beis.
Thank you.
Shemitah is that every 7 years we have to leave the field mostly untouched. It's not like our field; it's like a hefker field. The food has kedusha attached to it. That starts off Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Minolan, how we know that Shemitah is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? So it says in the pasuk, it says Uveshana Hashvius Shabbat Shabbaton Yelaretz. It says in the seventh year, referring to Shemitah, it'll be a Shabbat Shabbaton. It'll be a year of rest for the land. The land is not to be worked as usual. It's not to be harvested as usual. And we know what month it is. V'gamar shana shana mitishrei. We have gzeira shava ubashana hashriyis. Gzeira shava, the word shana, from the word shana regarding tishrei. As we saw earlier, since in the pasuk it says merishit hashana. Merishit hashana means the beginning of the year. We already established that refers to tishrei. So shana over here meant tishrei. Gzeira shava to our ubashana hashri tishrei. We know now that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is the time for both the Rosh Hashanah for the Shanim and Rosh Hashanah for the Shemitah as well. The Gemara says, we had this earlier on as well, the same discussion. When you have Gzeir Shavah with a certain word, we have this word appear by other months as well. We'll Ligmar Shana Shana Mi Nisan. Why don't we have the word Shana be learned out from the year of Nisan? After all, the same says in the Pasuk, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh Hashana. We establish that Nisan, it says the word Chodesh Hashana. We learned out earlier on that referred to Nisan. Nisan is when we start counting in the Torah. The first month is called Nisan. Rishon hu lachem l'chodesh Hashanah. You are the first for the Chodesh Hashanah. The word Shana appears there as well, and it refers to Nisan. So why am I making these Gzeir Shavah between Shana, Shana for Tishrei, maybe Shana, Shana for Nisan? The Gemara answers the same. We had the answer earlier on in the Gemara as well. Done in Shana she'eni machadashim, mishana she'eni machadashim. We learn out a Gzeir Shavah from the word Shana, when the word Shana is in the pasuk without the word Chodesh, attached to it. Because both, the case in our sugya of Shemitah, it said the word Shana Shemit, not about any Chodesh. We learn out, therefore, from the pasuk that describes the Shana without a Chodesh for Bayit Tishrei. Ve'ein don in Shana She'ini Machadashim, Mishana She'ishim Machadashim. And we do not judge from the Shana by Shemitah that doesn't have the word Chodesh mentioned there, from Nisan, where it's a Shana that has the word Chodesh mentioned to that. That's the same way we had last time. You remember earlier on, we had the same discussion where we were learning out of Gzeir Shavah to learn that Shana meant Nisan because it says the word Chodeshe Hashana. And we learned out from something that says over here, L'Chodeshe Hashana over here, Rishon Lachem L'Chodeshe Hashana, also referring to Nisan. But once over here, you have not the word Chodeshe Shana, but just the word Shana itself. We learn out the word Shana itself from the Pasuk of Tishrei, Mereshit Hashana, that was not about the word Chodesh Hashanah. And therefore, Gzeir Shavah is to Tishrei and not to Nisan. Liovlos, Yovel also. Yovel again, the 50th year, meaning after 7 Shemitah cycles, you have something called Yovel. We mentioned before, Yovel has a few laws to it. Some laws of Yovel is, like Shemitah, you can't work the land. There's also a law that the slaves go free. If you had a slave, an Eved Ivri, the slaves go free during Yovel if they're already still there. If they pierce their ear, want to stay longer, they still go free of Yovel. And we also have a law of Yovel that land that at some point in time that you may have sold ancestral lands would also go back to the original owners. The Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Hashanah for Yovel is also Nisa. Is also Tishrei. I'm sorry. Let's look here. 1 second. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is the time for the Rosh Hashanah of Yovel. Yovel's Becha B'Tishreihu. Yovel's B'Yud B'Tishreihu. Yovel is really on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. Because the pasuk says, it says in the pasuk, "V'yom kippurim taviru shofar." It says the pasuk again. It says on the 10th of Tishrei. It says again. The pasuk says over here, "Va'avarta shofar trua b'chodesh hashvi'i." That you should have the shofar, the trua, on the 7th month. Be'asor lachodesh. V'yom kippurim taviru shofar b'chodesh hashvi'i. You blow the shofar, and that's what signals and symbolizes Yovel, the rules kicking in. So why are we saying Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is a time for Yovel kicking in? The pasuk seems to establish that Yom Kippur is when you blow the shofar for that Yovel year when the rules of Yovel kick in. Gemara says, I'll answer that question. Hamani, who's the author of this statement of our Mishnah that says Rosh Chodesh? we had this earlier on as well. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, he's the author of the Mishnah. And what did he hold? The Tanya v'kidashtem es shnasa chamishim shana. It says you should sanctify the 50th year. Ma tamulomer. What do you learn from that statement that says sanctify the 50th year? The Rishon Ne'emar Yom Kippurim. It said already that it should be Yom Kippur. According to the passage now, it should be Yom Kippur. So we say one second. It says Yom Kippur, but it also says you should sanctify the year. Well, how does that work out? Yachol lote miskadesh el Yom Kippurim ve'elech. Maybe you'll tell me the year, the 50th year, should only be sanctified as a Yovel year from Yom Kippur and onwards. Talmud Lomar, no, says the Torah. We learn in the pasuk v'kidashtem eshnas hachamishim that you should sanctify the entire 50th year, not only 10 days into the year, like Yom Kippur would be, but the entire year. Milamed, we learn over here, shemitzkadeshes ve'oleches mitzchilasa. We learn that it's sanctified, and it continues that way from the beginning, meaning it has a status of being sanctified right away from the very beginning of the year. Well, if that's the case, Mikan, from here we learn out. Amar Bishmol Benos Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Hu, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. So from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's already considered Yovel from Rosh Hashanah right away. But Lo Hayu Avadim Niftarim LeBateim, Lo Mishtabim LeAdoneim. It's a staggered Yom Kippur Yovel cycle. Right away, it's called Yovel. For the first 10 days, the Avadim are not Niftarim LeBateim. The Jewish slaves do not go back to their homes. But they also are lo mishtabdin ladonayim. They're also not serving their masters. Again, a Jewish slave does not go free until the shofar blast in Yom Kippur, according to Yochanan Rishmael ben Osher, Yochanan Broka. They do not go free immediately upon the Rosh Hashanah time arriving. But they also aren't working. They're not actively working. What are they doing? Elo ochlin v'shosin v'smeichin. They're eating, they're drinking, they're v'simcha, knowing that they're getting off right now. V'atroseyen v'roshayen. They have their crowns on their head, which means that if they can do anything they want to do. Their dress is their own dress. They can behave how they want to behave. They're not yet going home, but they're also not defined by being slaves. They can have a little bit of freedom. They're like in quarantine. They're not home yet, but they're also like, they don't have to go out to work yet. They're allowed to stay home. They can dress whatever they want to dress in. They can wear a crown symbolizing their freedom already, but they're not yet home. But Kevan Shigia Yom Kippurim, and when Yom Kippur comes, Tiku Beis Din V'Shofar, Beis Din blows a shofar, and that now signifies and symbolizes the entirety of Yovel's behaviors in effect. Niftar Avadim L'Bateim, the Avadim can go home. The Sados Chozer L'Balei, and I mentioned before the ancestral lands that were sold, that will go back during the Yovel year, they go back after the shofar blast. So we have right now the following thing again. We have right now three things happen in Yovel. The first thing happens right away. Yovel is sanctified from Rosh Hashanah time, and that is that the land is not to be worked like it wasn't the year before by Shemitah either. It's not to be worked at all. At least I shouldn't have said at all. It doesn't have to die, but you can't try to make it even better than it was before. You can't make it grow and become better. That happens right away. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, there's like a delayed process. It's a staggered process where the Avadim are no longer working, but they're not going home yet. And comes the shofar blast on Yom Kippur, and the Avadim go back to their homes. They're freed completely to go back to their homes. And the land that was bought during the prior 50-year cycle of Yovel is now returning back to their original the owners. The ancestral land goes back at the blast of the shofar. That's all according to Bishmal, Benos Yochanan and Brokum. However, says the Gemara, the Rabbanan, who argue on the opinion of Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan Broka, what do they explain this whole set of sukkah to mean? Again, they hold that everything starts only from Yom Kippur. So what do they hold? They say the following. Rabbanan, they say, Shanim atam mekadesh, v'yatam mekadesh chadashim. What is the pasuk when it says that you sanctify the 50th year? Again, you don't forget, we have two pasuk and we have by Yovel. One describes Yom Kippur being the main part, and one describes the 50th year being the main part, starting from the beginning. So Bishmol explained this whole process. It starts the 50th year for real. But we have a staggered process of Yom Kippur. But everyone else against Bishmol holds that no, Yom Kippur, Yovel starts really by Yom Kippur. So then what's the point then of the first pasuk that says the 50th year is sanctified? What does that mean? So the pasuk over here, what it means is, Shanim atam mekadesh, v'atam mekadesh chadashim. It means that you that the years the Beis Din is obligated to say mikudeshet regarding the Yovel year, but they do not say mikudeshet regarding all the months, which means that every month that starts anew, not only the year but throughout all the months of the Jewish calendar. Is a machlokas, does every month have to be said, you know, mikudeshet? The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, we're doing right now, but later on we'll describe that every new month you had Edim who would go and they would spot the new month. They would go to Beis Din, they would declare it's a new month, and the Beis Din would say mikudeshet, it's a holy month. They would pass the word to their brothers in the other cities that this was the new month was beginning from today. So according to the Rabbanan, against Rabbi Shmuel, we've not passed on this. We're passing Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbanan, the year of Yovel is mikadesh, is sanctified by Beis Din saying mikudesh rashana, but the months don't require a real kiddush process. And the Gemara later on, and Daf Dal Ma'af Rashi quotes, we'll discuss what this process is. But according to the Rabbanan who argue Rabbi Shmuel, only Yovel gets this mikudash declaration by Beis Din, and the other months are known to be new months, but there's no actual mikadesh process that happens with, according to the other opinions, with these other months. Again, we do not pass in this way. We pass like Rabbi Shmuel, that every month has a mikudash attached to it. But this over here is what the Rabbanan explain, because they hold that Yom Kippur is really when Yovel starts, and the whole 50th year mikudesh thing, that means there's a need to declare the 50th year mikudash as Yovel, and only Shana, only Yovel's like that, as opposed to each and every particular month. Okay. Tani Idach, another teaching that we have. Tani Idach. Yovel he. It is called Yovel. Matam Lomar. What do we learn from it when it says in the pasuk Yovel he? Vishenemar. It says in Kiddushem es Shnas Hamishim. When it says that you should sanctify the 50th year, Yachum Kishem Shem Miskadeshes Veoleches Mitchilasa Kach Miskadeshes Veoleches Bisofa. Looks like we have a process where we mentioned earlier that Yovel, again, it starts Rosh Hashanah, but it kind of extends. It really starts Yom Kippur. So maybe also that's how it starts off. The beginning part is a stage from Yom Kippur, and it really begins until Yom Kippur. So also when it ends off, it also ends off at Yom Kippur. Maybe you'll think to say, again, it says Yovel he. It is Yovel. What does it mean it is Yovel? It means that you would think to say, when we say the year, we're sanctified in a way where Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is really nothing yet, according to Rabbanan. So maybe you'll tell me that the next year also, it kind of extends past Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. So says the Gemara, no. V'al titama, he says, and don't ask me the question. Don't say, why would I think that? Because Hari Masif Mechol HaKodesh. Because we do find that we do in general extend, even though we have Chol, we have Kodesh lasting a certain amount of time, we do extend Kodesh into Chol times. Like, for example, Shabbos. We have something called Tosefet Shabbos. You bring in Shabbos before it's actually nightfall. And you let Shabbos out right before it, after it actually just right away when it turns dark. We wait till three stars are out. We try to extend Kedusha in every direction. So it shouldn't surprise you if we extend the Yovel, again, the Havamina, to extend the Yovel year beyond Rosh Hashanah, including all the way even to Yom Kippur. Maybe you think that we do that and it shouldn't surprise if we said that you do, because after all, we are in the habit of extending a little time at the beginning and on the end to Kedusha things in general, to make Chol more Kodesh. So maybe you'll tell me in the second and the ending of the year of Yovel, we also end after Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, like we started, according to the Rabbanan. Talmud Lomar, Yovel he, Shnas HaChamishim Shana, Shnas HaChamishim. Yovel is the Shnas HaChamishim. It says the Gemara, what it means is, Shnas HaChamishim Atam Mekadesh, V'yatam Mekadesh Shnas HaChamishim V'achat, which means that only the 50th year are Mekadesh, we're not Mekadesh the 51st year, which means we're not Mekadesh at all into the 51st year. We don't go from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we go Rosh Hashanah, and we stop Rosh Hashanah for the 51st year. That's already no longer sanctified. Okay, so now we have over here, that would be the opinion of a Rishmol, again, a Rishmol, Rosh Yochanan Broka. He holds that Yovel starts Rosh Hashanah time, and therefore it goes into Rosh Hashanah time as well. The next year it ends Rosh Hashanah time as well. Yovel, he means we do not add and make this next part of the year holy until Yom Kippur. Because again, even Rabbi Shmuel held that Yom Kippur was new things happening in Yom Kippur. Even though the sanctification happens in Rosh Hashanah, there are things that happen on Yom Kippur. So maybe you'll think to say that we should also the following year continue some sort of thing until Yom Kippur. Because Rabbi Shmuel, no, we don't do that. We stop it right by Rosh Hashanah. And Yovel he shnas hachamishim. Yovel only lasts the 50th year, not into the 51st year. Renan, what do you got?
But doesn't this totally take out like Yom Kippur as a factor?
One more time?
Weren't we talking about like, oh, it could be Yom Kippur, it could be Rosh Hashanah. But then he just takes out Yom Kippur completely. Like you just skip
over. Yom Kippur, the 50th year, is still a factor. But Yom Kippur, the 51st year, we're taking out. Rabbi Shmuel is saying over here that the way it works is that Yovel starts off Rosh Hashanah. That's when all the land requirements are there. And that's even when the slaves stop working for their masters. And until Yom Kippur, they don't go home yet. Yom Kippur, they still go home, according to Shmuel, they still go home during 50th year Yom Kippur time. The shofar blasts, and they all go back to their original houses. The question was, well, doesn't we do that by the 50th year? Do we also extend the 51st year in through something to Yom Kippur as well? That's the question we had. So that question, we say, no, Yovel hi shnas chamishim. Shmuel says, Yovel only lasts the 50th year. There is nothing beyond the 50th year for Yovel. 51st year, there's no 51st year rules. It stops for some time completely. That's all Rabbi Shmuel. We'll see. There Rabbanim might argue in a minute, but Avi, you have a question?
Yeah, this is just a short one. Is Yovel supposed to come up anytime soon, or do we know when the next Yovel?
It's a good question. There was a discussion whether or not we're still keeping track of Yovel years. We do keep track of Shemitah. We know when Shemitah years are. I think it's next, maybe 3 years from now, 4 years from now, Shemitah comes up. And I don't remember exactly the year. Yovel is, I think people there's a Mesorah Yovel. I'm not sure what it is, but I think there is a Mesorah Yovel. It's very important to know because when Yovel comes up, we have two straight years we can't work the land. You have the 49th and the 50th year. 49th is because the seventh cycle of seven Shemitahs is 49th year. 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49. They're all Shemitah years, and so is number 50. So I don't know if we know it or not, but that is important to know when Yovel has come up. They basically used to sanctify where the Yovel was, they would count it. I'm not sure when it is coming up, though. I'm not sure. Aaron, what do you got?
For when it would start Rosh Hashanah, but then they'd only like really go into a full effect on Yom Kippur, would they sanctify on Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah?
They would sanctify on Rosh Hashanah, according to Yishmael. According to the opinion of the Rabbanan, sanctification happened only for Yovel, which was blown on Yom Kippur. The Rosh Hashanah part was nothing, according to the Rabbanan. But according to Yishmael, the sanctification happened on Rosh Hashanah time. That was when it started. And Yom Kippur was when the kind of Yovel rules fully kicked into play. So now we're going now on the Rabbanan's opinion. Next part of your Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, what does Shnas Chamishim mean? Again, according to Rabbi Yoshua Yishmael, he said, what does it mean? It means Dafka Shnas Chamishim is Yovel. And we had to tell it to you because maybe you think to say that extended through to Yom Kippur the next year. What did the Rabbanan say? Again, the Rabbanan did not understand the halacha of Rashi here explains. Look at Rashi, the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan del Yalfi mi v'kidashtem. She's Kadesh b'tchilasa. The Rabbanan never said that this whole v'kidashtem is that the beginning part was sanctified. Rishmol says you start from right away, v'kidashtem, which means right away you mekadesh it. And therefore we said we mekadesh it a little bit earlier, and still before Yom Kippur even. And we thought maybe you should also be mekadesh it in the end as well for a little extra time. So we needed Yovel Hi to say, no, Shas Chamishim, only Chamishim, not beyond that. The Rabbanan didn't learn that first drasha. They say it doesn't start first, it starts from Yom Kippur. And therefore there's no Havamina for the Rabbanan, that you should extend it beyond the year. So the question is, what do you learn after the word Shnas Chamishim? So the Gemara, Atam, Shnas Chamishim Atamoneh, the Atamoneh Shnas Chamishim V'achas. You only count this year for the Yovel year, it only counts as year 50, it does not count as year 51. What does that mean? So it means the following thing. When you start counting Yovel, it's like year number 50. Is it like, are you pausing the Shemitah count? Again, Shemitah works. What it is year, it's years 1 through 6 you can work, and year 7 is Shemitah. When you get to year 50 of Yovel, is that double dip as year 50 of Yovel and also year 1 of the next Shemitah cycle? You can't do work because it's the Yovel also, but is that still year 1 of the Shemitah cycle or not? Says Rabbanan, Shnas Chamishim means it's only year 50, it's not year 51, meaning it's Yovel and it's not the first year of the Shemitah process. And that's important because, before I get to Ariel's question, it's important because La'afukim Rabbi Yehuda. This comes to exclude Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Because Amar Yehuda holds, Amar Yehuda says, Shnas Chamishim o lekan u lekan. Shnas Chamishim goes to, it kind of double dips. It counts as Yovel, And it also counts as the first year of the next cycle of Shemitah years, which is year number one of this remaining 6 years to work. You can't work this year on technicality because it's also called Yovel. For you to hold that that it cannot, it does not double dip. Kamash Milan, come to teach us, Dilo, that it does not double dip. Again, that the reason why it says Shnat Chamishim according to Rabbanan is to show you that now it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda holds again that Shnat Chamishim is the 50th year and it's also the first year of the next 7 years of Shemitah cycle. Again, you still can't do work because it's Yovel, but it still counts as year number one in the next cycle of seven for Shemitah. So says Rabbanan against that opinion. No, we don't hold that way. This is Shnat Chamishim Dafka and not Shnat Chamishim Vecha. It doesn't count as the first year of the next cycle. Okay. The Gemara entertained the possibility. Oh, sorry, Uriel, yeah, question.
How could they survive back-to-back years of Shemitah?
One more time?
How could they survive back-to-back years of Shemitah?
Excellent question. The Torah is the ultimate source of Emunah. The Torah describes that the Shemitah cycle and the Yovel cycle are ultimate source of Emunah, and that the Torah promises something that, again, part of the Eshet Torah proof of God, that in the Torah you find certain promises that a human being would never make if he wanted to have people follow his book of laws. The Torah promises that if you keep the cycle of Shemitah properly, then I will have extra growth growing in the sixth year and the seventh year and the eighth year, meaning it'll grow enough to be able to provide you for multiple years. That's where a true emunah would come in. There's actually unbelievable stories they have. As you look up online, the story of a moshav called Komam Yut, where they were not really a from Moshav. They kept the year of Shemitah. And there was a terrible locust plague that took place in the land. And people come, and this is right during a certain time of year, right, the Shemitah cycle, and you see all these locusts come in. And the people who were not from Jews were describing the scene. You can look up later on the line. And they went and they completely avoided this Moshav called Komam Yut. There's people who were keeping Shemitah because they weren't really from. And it consumed everyone else's land and didn't consume their land. And they all became from afterwards, as I'm sure you can imagine. It's a very inspiring thing. You later on, you Google online, you'll see it's not a mice that happened like, you know, 100 years ago. It happened like in the last 50 years, 60 years ago. People are still living today who were there, who watched it happen. Not from people who decided to keep Shemitah. I'm not sure why they decided to keep Shemitah. Maybe your rabbi gave a shmooze about it and they decided to keep it. But Emunah was really not tested, proven. Imagine the opposite, Ergo. Imagine the tremendous amount of Emunah you would see in the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world when you would see that if you kept the rules properly, your crops would grow enough to provide for you all of these time periods. Aaron, what do you got?
Shemitah, like, it means that you can't, like, work the field, but, you, like, when stuff grows, you can still, like, take it.
And yeah, it's actually fair game. I mean, anyone can take it. You can take it. Someone else can take it. It has Kedusha status. Oh, you're allowed to avoid, let's say it was dying. You can do something to protect it from dying. You can't help it grow more, but you can help it not die. You're allowed to do stuff to your field. You can't work it as far as as far as improving it, but you can help it not die.
Could you like water it or no?
As long as that water is enough for it to not die, you want to make sure it stays like stays alive still. Okay, back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, we made an assumption. We said Mosifim Michol Al Kodesh. We said, just like we're mostly called Kodesh, maybe you'll think the same as Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. If I said you have to sanctify this year, even before Yom Kippur, you start the sanctification process already, maybe you think you say at the end also you sanctify it. So we want to know, where's that from? Mosifim Kol HaKodesh Minolam. How do you know where we see your Mosifim Kol HaKodesh? Where's that based on? Title in the Braisa, B'charish u'v'katsir tishbos. It says you should rest from plowing and from harvesting. Now again, the Pasuk says, the whole Pasuk says, Shesh Yamim Tavod, V'yamashri tishbos. For 6 days you should work your land. The seventh day you should rest. From harvesting, from plowing and harvesting, you should rest. And then it says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Enotzarech Lomar, Chavishu Katsir, Shel Shvius. I don't need to tell this that you that this refers to. Meaning, this is obvious that this would not be the general rules of Harisha and Katsira of the seventh year of Shvita, Shreikvar Nemar, it says already, Sadcha lo tizra, the Karmacha lo tizmor. It says already you can't plant and you can't prune during the Shemitah year. So why are we adding this again? We're saying it again. It sounds like you should rest from Chamish and Katsira. We already know the rules. Why is it repeating again? Okay, here's the Chiddush. El Chamish shall Erev Shvius, HaNichnas Shvius, the Katsira shall Shvius, HaYotzei L'motzei Shvius. It's coming to teach you the lach is that you shouldn't even plow before the Shemitah year starts, and you shouldn't harvest things that grew in the Shemitah year when the Shemitah year is already over. What do you see over here? We see over here that not only is the din of Shemitah on the actual year itself, but we're mosifin kodesh from the chol. We add in extra things from chol and make them more kodesh. That's the source for it. Yeah, Joe, what do you got?
But aren't you allowed to harvest on Shemitah year?
What's that?
Aren't you allowed to harvest in the Shemitah year?
I can't harvest, but I can pick. What does that mean? It means harvesting means like I'm storing it. I can't harvest to store. I can't harvest to like bring in more than my family needs. I'm allowed to eat my food. I can bring in my dinner from my outside and eat it, but I can't store it. I can't like hoard it for myself. More of my own field normally I can take and keep whatever I want to do. It's not like my field. It's like anyone's field. So I'm allowed to take for my needs, but I can't do beyond that. That's what it means over here. So I can't do that either. When anything that grew during the seventh year, I can't harvest it later either. So we see over here a source in the Torah that you're not allowed to, even before Shemitah year starts, I can't plow for the sake of better growth in the Shemitah year. And once Shemitah year ends, I can't harvest things that grew during the Shemitah year that were Shemitah foods as well. And that's the din over here. That's what we know, that you could have thought to say that we're Mosif from Chol, and we're making it Kodesh. And maybe you would think, Rabbi Shmuel's point, maybe you would think to say, therefore, I should also extend the rules of Shemitah even to Yom Kippur for this next year, 50 year 51. We say, no, we don't say that din. But that's where the source comes from, that we do have certain rules that still apply because they're part of the Shemitah year still. Still part of the Shemitah year. Okay. That's the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Rabbi Shmuel has a different shot. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Machash charish rishus, af katsir rishus." So Rabbi Shmuel has a different drasha he makes. Let's skip that line. Let's skip something now. Yeah, that's what he said. Rabbi Shmuel learns out a different drasha from this pasuk that just like charish, just like being, plowing is a rishus, means there's never a time when you need to plow. No mitzvah of plowing. So too, when we say that you can't harvest, it means you can't harvest, rishus harvesting. You can't harvest things that are not mitzvahs to harvest. Yet, so that comes to exclude katsir haomer shu mitzvah. That comes to exclude that the katsir omer, meaning harvesting the omer is a mitzvah. Every year, the second day of Pesach is a mitzvah in harvesting the omer. We mentioned that last time, that makes now all the grains of that year from Chadash to Yashan, and now you're allowed to eat those foods, those grains. Again, nowadays most people aren't, many people are not mafmir on Yashan. People eat Chadash as well. But back then, that was a mitzvah to harvest the Omer. That's allowed on Shemitah year as well. Why? Because there's no mitzvah of doing Charish ever. There's no mitzvah ever to plow. There's never a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah sometimes to harvest. So when the pasuk makes a hekish between harvesting and plowing, so just like plowing is never a mitzvah, that's what's usher. Plowing is usher during Shemitah because there's no mitzvah of plowing. So too, the harvesting that's not a mitzvah is usher. But harvesting that is a mitzvah is mutter. What's the harvesting? That's a mitzvah on Shemitah that you're allowed to do. That's the harvesting of the Omer. That's how Rabbi Shmuel learns out this pasuk connecting the harvesting and the plowing hekish, the connection. Says the Gemara now the following. So Rabbi Shmuel used that pasuk up already for the idea of connecting, harvesting, and plowing, that you're allowed to harvest the Omer, which is a mitzvah. Well, then Rabbi Shmuel, Mosif Michal HaKodesh Minale. How does he learn then? We'll get to Aaron's question in a minute. How does he learn the sugya of the din of Mosif Michal HaKodesh? You have to add extra things in, because we had the pasuk earlier saying, you can't do Charisha before even the Shemitah year if it's for the Shemitah year. You can't do before the Shemitah year if it's for the Shemitah year. And you can't harvest afterwards from the pasuk of the Charisha v'Katsira. We said that's extra. So Charisha before, Katsira afterwards. But Rabbi Shmuel used to have a different drasha. So how does he learn this din of you add an extra Kedusha even though it's not, it's during a whole period of time? Says the Gemara the following. Says the Gemara, we learn out from the following. Minale, Nafkale, learns out from the time of the Nebraisa, Minisa was Ashosechem, Betisha. It's referred to Yom Kippur. It says you should make yourself struggle or suffer on the ninth day. Now, we all know, we mentioned earlier on with Yovel, Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of Tishrei. What does it mean? It's talking about Yom Kippur. You should suffer on the ninth day. Is that true? You suffer on the ninth day? Yachol Betisha? You think really you do the ninth day? Talmud Lomar Be'erev. It says really the evening, which means the 10th. See, Be'erev, if it's really the evening, Yachol Betisha, maybe you only start Yom Kippur then when it's already dark outside. Talmud Lomar Betisha. No, it's got to be part of the ninth day. So which one is it? Tisha Be'erev. What Tisha is really, the day is Tisha. Already getting Erev is already the 10th. But getting Erev evening time, why am I saying the 9th? It's really the 10th. Which one is it? Okay, so how does it work? So the rule is you have to start and already begin the Yom Kippur. So if you guys remember from last year, hopefully you remember it. We went to Yom Kippur. We went to the Davin, the Shul, already on Erev Yom Kippur. We went early. We started Kol Nidre while still before it's Shkia. We accept Yom Kippur earlier than the day is. Why? Went over here. Lamech Musifin Michol Al Kodesh. Oh, here's our proof that we're Mosif Michol Al Kodesh. So we add in before it even starts. We add in Michol Al Kodesh. We make the ninth day of Tishrei pre Yom Kippur already sanctified in some elements of Yom Kippur before it's actually nightfall. Why is it din Mosifin Michol Al Kodesh? We try to add on, and that's the source over here. Rabbi Shmuel would use. Because he doesn't use the pasuk of Charish Bekatzir, let's use it up for a different drasha. So this is how he gets his din. This is all prior to the your Mosif earlier. How do we even know your Mosif even afterwards? That you even extend it beyond? Ainli Ella Beknisaso. This only refers to bringing something in prematurely earlier. But how do we know Beitziyasim? How do we know we even extend it beyond it? Talmud Lomer says Mi Erev Ad Erev. It says even from evening to evening, just like I'm adding on the evening prior, I extend it the next evening as well, Yom Kippur. So not only do I bring it in earlier, but I push it off later as well. You see over here, when it says from evening to evening, that means till the next night, meaning that we even go into the next night and we include the extra restrictions and the extra Yom Kippur-like setting before Yom Kippur starts. And the Erev Ad Erev, including to after Yom Kippur is quote-unquote finished, we extend it as well. This whole idea of being Mosif, Michol Al Kodesh, only applies to Yom Kippur, maybe. In the Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim. Shabbos is, how do you even apply to Shabbos? Talmud Lomar, Tishbisu. Pasuk says over here, I'll read inside for you. It says, Shabbat Shabbaton Hu Lachem, V'nisem Esau Shotechem. So this is a Shabbat Shabbaton, is referring to Yom Kippur. Betisha, the ninth day, Lachodesh. Be'erev, in the evening, before 10, meaning a little bit earlier. Me'erev on Erev, Tishbisu Shabbatchem. From evening to evening, Tishbisu, that's plural. Tishbisu is plural. What do we learn from there? Not only does it apply to Yom Kippur, but it also applies to Shabbat, the Shabbatot as well. That's why the lesson of Tishbisu applies as well to that idea. Yom Tov, it still goes, I have Yom Kippur, I have Shabbos. Yom Tov, I have another Yom Tov as well. Even Yom Tov, you should also extend. Tablomer Shabbatchem says the word Shabbatchem. Tishbisu Shabbatchem. Tishbisu refers to Shabbos, and Shabbatchem means your Shabbatot, referring really to your Yom Tovim as well. Because we already knew Shabbos, we already knew Yom Kippur. What's left Shabbatchem? What's it extending to? Even the other Yomim Tovim as well. Haketza, how does this make sense? How does it work? Kol Makom Sheish Bo Shvus, we learn from this drasha of Shabbatchem. Any place when there's a level of shvus, an idea of resting, of not doing malacha, which includes Yom Tovim, so Mosif and Michol al-Kodesh. We add in Michol al-Kodesh. That's the drasha we have over here. Okay. Now we see over here that that's this drasha that Rabbi Yishmael learned out. The question is, how about Rabbi Akiva? What does Rabbi Akiva do with this pasuk? And Rabbi Akiva doesn't need the pasuk at all for the sugya of adding on. Rabbi Akiva doesn't need the pasuk of Benitzim Asher Seichem Mitisha because he already learned out the drasha Mosif Michol Al Kodesh from the discussion we had of Charish and Katzir. So Rabbi Akiva, who we quoted above, who learns out the Mosif Michol Al Kodesh from Charish and Katzir, what does learn out from the pasuk of Betisha? Rabbi Akiva, hi, Benitzim Asher Seichem Betisha. my Abdilei. What does it do with the pasuk that says you should make yourself, you have your Yom Kippur already on the 9th, which is what Rabbi Shmuel is learning out from the idea of Mosif Michal HaKodesh. He doesn't need that for that pasuk. What does he learn out from this idea that you should already start, quote unquote, on the 9th day? We knew already that you're supposed to Mosif Michal HaKodesh. So what does it say the 9th for, according to Rabbi Kiva? Ba'ilei, L'Gatan Rabbi Chia Barav Midifti. We need it for that which Rabbi Chia Barav Midifti taught. You should make yourself suffer betisha. Says Gemara, v'chi betisha misanim. Do we fast? Do we suffer on tisha on the 9th day? Hello, Basirimis. We fast on the 10th day of tisha, not the 9th day of tisha, right? This is my boy's favorite mitzvah. This boy over here. My boy's over here has a favorite mitzvah. This next halacha. Hello, malacha. We learn over here. Kol ochel v'shoset v'chi. Whoever eats and drinks on the 9th day of Tishrei, Malei Lava Kasuf. The Torah considers it Ki'ilu Hisanet Chivasiri, like you fast the 9th and the 10th day. The fast day again of Yom Kippur, if you eat on the 9th day, it's as if you fasted on that day. You did your mitzvah for the day. The mitzvah for the Tishrei for Yom Kippur is fasting. The mitzvah for the 9th day is eating. The same schar you get for fasting on the 10th day of Kippur, you get for eating on the 9th day. Now, why that's the case, a very interesting discussion among the commentaries. I'll give you two opinions. One opinion is that the reason why is because when you're doing, preparing for a mitzvah, so you get credit when you're preparing for a mitzvah, so you get credit in the preparation time, like you did the mitzvah itself. So if I'm eating in order to fast the next day, so I get credit while I'm eating for fasting the next day as well as part of the process of going through it. Shot number two I saw one time in the Torah Tamima is that when you eat a lot on a day, your stomach expands, and that makes the fast the next day harder. So by eating a lot on the 9th of Tishrei, that makes your fast on the 10th of Tishrei that much harder, and therefore you get schar for eating on the 9th of Tishrei to make your fast on Tishrei a little harder. You get the schar for doing that as well. From over here, you learn a very important halacha, by the way. Let's say you have something called tzom kal. You have these pills you can take to make your fast a little bit easier. So can I take that before a fast day? So usually maybe you can, but according to this drusha, this shot over here, you couldn't on the 9th of Tishrei. It'd be wrong to do that because you're not supposed to make your fast easier on Yom Kippur. It's supposed to be harder. It says the pasuk says v'nisem. There's inui. It's supposed to be struggling and suffering in some level on Yom Kippur. And therefore, part of the goal is to have a challenging fast day as well. Renan, what do you got?
So in shul on Yom Kippur, why don't we like crank up the heat so it's harder? Why don't we just like crank up the AC to like 90, so it's hard.
Excellent question. What levels of inui are required for a person to, to feel inui? It's an excellent question. We have the inui listed for us, right? Eating inui, eating and drinking inui. There's bathing inui that we have. There's, wearing shoes inui that we have. Some people don't wear shoes at all. They don't wear any shoes. They want to, whatever inui is there, maybe they want to make sure that inui is really felt mostly. But to create extra inui is not required at all. That's not required. We'll stop over here. Even though I have a question, you can go back on for a question if you want right now. We'll come back on if you want for a quick second.